It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is July 12 of 2023. And yes, Mount Rushmore week continues. Details forthcoming on that. And everything else on the agenda in just a few short moments. Hope you're having an outstanding day. Thank you so much for being here, whether you're tuned in on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. You can follow me on Twitter at RealColeBear. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650thefan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go there on the Zuck Machine. And also bookmark that website, not just for the stream, but all sorts of local, statewide, and national sports content can be found there. All sorts of audio on demand, including the podcast of this show. Bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web, 1650thefan.com. First things first. Let me get you the number if you want to call in and weigh in with any questions or comments. Today on the program as Mount Rushmore Week continues, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. That'd be another great way to reach out here on Mount Rushmore Week and contribute, make your voice heard. Email address is Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, where do I want to go from here? You know, thinking about the website, thinking about your ability to reach out, and just thinking about you, the listener, I will say this, coming up Friday, if you're going to, and you should be, why wouldn't you be? Coming up Friday morning, we're going to have a very special announcement on the station for our entire radio group. And I would just say that listen closely Friday morning. And if you're not, you'll definitely know by the time this show begins on Friday what that special announcement is. So a big special announcement is coming up on Friday. That's all I can tell you for now. That's what we call a tease in the business. So let your synapses in your brain start working overtime here as you try to game this one out. But you will know before 9 o'clock, if you're listening closely to the station on Friday morning, you will know by then. So that's what I can tell you right now. But something I am very, very pumped up about, easy for me to say, and will very much be looking forward to sharing more with you on Friday's show. So that's that. Let's move along now. Coming up here in just a few short moments, area sports news and scores. We'll get to the stack here in just a little bit. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one. Get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We'll come back in the second segment of today's show, and Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, my colleague, is going to join us. We spoke with David Eicholt on yesterday's show, talking some Iowa football with less than a month until fall camps will begin across the country in preparation for the college football season. So we talked Hawks yesterday. We'll talk Cyclones today right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation with Rob Gray. So look forward to that coming up in the next segment. Also, the Big 12 Media Days began today. So Commissioner Brett Yomark was at the podium, as you might imagine, for quite some time, taking questions from the assembled media. So there's plenty to get to there, as well as Cyclone football specifically. So looking forward to catching up with Rob. And, you know, I had messaged him, it was like early last month, when, you know, I and will continue to do, make no apologies about being the first show that starts talking college football. We had gotten within the 100-day mark, right, until the season began, and I'd reached out to Rob to have him on the show, and he texts me back. He goes, "Hey, Cole, sorry I can't be on the show today, but I'm not sorry. I am snorkeling in Belize today." So Rob is known to take international vacations. I don't know if he does it every year, but I've known him just long enough to know it's not a new thing for him. And he's just awesome with his time on the show. Always appreciate him coming on. And so, I mean, I got to start there with the snorkeling in Belize. So we're also going to talk about that today on the show. So you're getting a genuine potpourri segment when Rob Gray joins us next here on today's edition of Cole & Company. So a lot to look forward to there. After we're done with Rob, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side in segment number three. That is when Mount Rushmore Week will continue. And me and Logan putting our heads together for whatever the hell that might be worth. We did top four. It's Mount Rushmore, right? Top four Iowa, UNI, Iowa State quarterbacks on Monday. We did running backs yesterday. This is all since 1990. This is in the Blackman and Bear era, if you will. That's what we wanted it to be for the most part. And today we are going to do top four all time since 1990 Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI football players. And this is where I feel like we are definitely going to get into the territory where some of you out there listening are going to go, "No, no, this guy over that guy. Love that guy, but it's got to be this guy over that guy." So I definitely want to hear from all of you. Once again, the number 319-277-1918, 800-913-9479. The email address, cole@1650thefan.com. C-O-L-E, cole@1650thefan.com. Mount Rushmore Week continues in the third segment. Me and Logan Blackman, Logan of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, we will get into our top four Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI football players since 1990. Positionless. Whoever it is, your best four. Hawks, Cyclones, and Panthers since 1990. And that ought to be a lot of fun. And then I think we'll make sure time permits, and we'll try, as long as it doesn't get too controversial, we will try to do an overall top four. I don't even think I'm going to spring this on Logan. We had done it on Monday with the quarterbacks. We didn't do it yesterday with the running backs. We got a little short on time, and like, there's no right answer, right? Like it's take all the data in that you can, and then make a judgment. So, by all means, would love to see yours. So send me an email, cole@1650thefan.com. If you send me one before the third segment, I'll be happy to share it and add it to the conversation that we're set to have with Logan coming up here as Mount Rushmore Week continues on the show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time on this Wednesday edition of the show and wrap things up. But that is what is on the agenda. Real quick, before we dive into area sports news and scores coming off of the All-Star game last night, where the National League finally, it only took a decade, got a win. And it took the Rockies representative, who otherwise would not have made the All-Star game if it wasn't for the everybody has to have at least one blue ribbon recipient rule that got put in however many years ago. But the National League gets the win. I really kind of checked out after Justin Steele, the Cubs starting pitcher, came in the fifth inning and threw a clean inning. He looked really good. I was really happy for him. I really checked out after that, honestly. I did. And actually, I ended up snoozing a little bit toward the end of that game. The eyelids came down before all was said and done. So I missed the end. I had to go back and watch the highlights on YouTube. That happens from time to time. Usually, mostly when the Cubs are out on the West Coast and I'm trying to stay awake and watch those games. And then I fall asleep in the seventh or eighth inning. And then I have to quickly go to YouTube and see how things ended if it, you know, was a competitive game and not an ugly game. And Lord knows we've had some of those with the Cubs this season. But we'll see. Cubs could still be buyers. They got a soft schedule after the All-Star break, and it begins on Friday. That's when Cubs baseball will return here to the Fan, and the Boston Red Sox will invade Wrigley Field for a three-game set beginning on Friday, and first pitch of that one Friday night is going to be at 7:05, so look forward to that. But one of the big notes coming out of things, of the All-Star break anyways, you know, you've got the commissioner and so many other people available that speak to the media, is that Major League Baseball players have made it known to their union, the MLBPA, that they would like their representative, Tony Clark, to try to do what he can to make the pitch clock longer in the postseason this year, and also would like a third disengagement, which is pretty much just the ability to attempt a third pickoff move per batter. So if you got a guy at the plate, the way the rule goes now is if there's a runner on and a guy at the plate, you can disengage from the mound twice and attempt pickoff moves. You can just plainly only disengage twice. And in most cases, right, 9 times out of 10, that's going to be for a pickoff move. And they want an additional pickoff move, I think is the right way to put it, if you're just getting down to brass tacks. And then also want the pitch clock to be longer. And I remember thinking earlier in the season that, man, would it really hurt if the pitch clock was like 2 seconds longer, and whether there was or was not a runner on base in both instances, because those are different time lengths, whether there is or is not a runner on base. Then again, I can totally see the side of what appears to be where the commissioner is dug in going, no, these are the new rules. This is the way the game's going to be played going forward. Postseason, regular season, it is what it is. Because I have very much enjoyed the product that the pitch clock has created. I have loved it, and I think it's safe to say I'm in a large majority. If you are not a fan of the pitch clock, you are in one hell of a minority right now. So maybe take stock of that. Would like to hear your thoughts on that as well. Email address, cole@1650thefan.com. All right, let's dive in here. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. The Waterloo Columbus softball team had its season come to an end last night, losing at Central Springs 6-0 in a 2A regional final. The game began Monday night but was halted in the second inning due to weather. The Sailors struggled against the Panthers pitcher, Cooper Clausen, who allowed just one hit and struck out 13. Waterloo Columbus ends an outstanding season, 26-12 overall. A berth into the state baseball tournament is up for grabs tonight. Cedar Falls plays at Cedar Rapids Kennedy in a Class 4A sub-state final. It's a top 10 matchup. The Tigers are ranked 10th. They're 26-14 entering tonight. The Cougars are ranked 6th. They are 29-11 this season. And in their only meeting during the regular season, the Tigers swept a doubleheader over the Cougars in Cedar Falls in late June. First pitch is at 7 tonight. The Mississippi Valley Conference has released its 2023 All-Conference softball teams. Cedar Falls infielder Gabby Townsend was named to the Mississippi Division second team. Two players from Waterloo West made the Valley Division first team, infielder Sydney Wilson and outfielder Bailey Shopsky. On the Valley Division second team, Waterloo West outfielder Addy Shopsky and utility player Francesca Dell. The Waterloo Bucks picked up another win last night at Eau Claire, 6-3. Waterloo now 7-1 in the second half of the Northwoods League season. The Bucks remain in first place in the Great Plains East Division, a game ahead of La Crosse. Waterloo begins a four-game series at home against Thunder Bay beginning tonight. First pitch at Riverfront Stadium is at 6:35. Perhaps you heard it before the top of the hour on Radio Iowa News, but the youngest son of University of Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey has been cited in a fatal accident. Court records show Iowa City Police cited 16-year-old Jonathan McCaffrey of North Liberty with failure to yield to a pedestrian in a crosswalk. Police say McCaffrey struck 45-year-old Corey Height of Cedar Rapids with his car not far from Iowa City West High School on May 22nd. Height, a National Guard soldier, died from his injuries on June 4th. The citation is a misdemeanor, which could include a $1,000 fine and a 180-day license suspension. The Big Ten Conference has announced the opponent rotation for the 2023-24 wrestling season. Iowa will host Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue, and Wisconsin. Hawkeyes will travel for road duels against Illinois, Michigan, Nebraska, and Northwestern. The complete schedule will be released upon being finalized. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of your Wednesday. Looking into tomorrow on Friday, we'll come back on the other side. We'll talk some Cyclone football. Big 12 Media Days going on. They began today. Rob Gray, my colleague at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Byer.
At Wimbledon today, American Christopher Eubanks saw his impressive run come to an end in the quarterfinals. Was up 2-1 against third seed Daniil Medvedev, but then lost in five sets. Next up for Medvedev is a date with top seeded Carlos Alcaraz in the semifinals coming up on Friday. Ladies side defending champion and third seed Elena Rybakina ousted today in three sets. Giants running back Saquon Barkley reportedly would consider missing regular season games if he doesn't get a long-term deal from the team. Giants placed the franchise tag on Barkley. He has yet to sign the tag, and they have until Monday to negotiate a long-term deal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers officially released their throwback creamsicle jerseys that will be worn in their game against the Lions on October 15th. Well, speaking of uniforms, the Yankees announced that they will wear a sponsorship patch on their jerseys. Star Insurance is the company. It will appear on the Yankees' sleeve, the left sleeve to be exact. Action Network says the deal is worth $25 million a year for the team.
Get the information you need to make an informed sports wager with VSiN Action Updates from Brent Musburger and friends in Las Vegas, weekdays in the noon and 5 o'clock hours.
If you need a garage, you need Action, Action Garage Builders.
Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
This month, we're extending a hearty congratulations to our Gold Star teachers, Central Middle School's Kendall Rockford, Irving Elementary's Anne Schreck, Orange Elementary's Roshana Greer, and Hoover Middle School's Joellen Pruis. We're also celebrating our board members for the positive impact they make on our district. Specifically, get this. Board member Lyle Schmidt has served 30 years on our Waterloo Schools board. Thank you, Director Schmidt. Recently, he shared with us that he was the first in his family to be able to go to college. He became an engineer, and it changed the trajectory of his life. And he serves on our board and supports education because, in his words, what we offer today can change the trajectory of many students' lives ahead. We also celebrated the 20th anniversary of the opening of the Dr. Walter Cunningham School for Excellence. At Waterloo Schools, we're so proud of our rich traditions and phenomenal students, staff, board, and volunteers. Thank you to the entire community for supporting our students. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
The PGA Tour and the DP World Tour have two co-sanctioned events this week, the Genesis Scottish Open and the Barbasol Championship. Scottie Scheffler, the favorite at the Scottish Open at plus 750, while Rory McIlroy is plus 850. Xander Schauffele is the defending champion in Scotland. He is at 14-1, while Ricky Fowler, coming off of a win in Detroit 2 weeks ago, is 18-1. One of the long shots to keep an eye on, Alexander Bjork, who's 125-1. I'm John Thayer with the VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 64 tonight under partly cloudy skies, northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, high of 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night, 65, partly cloudy. Temperatures near average Friday and Saturday with highs in the mid-80s. Chance for scattered storms Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 79.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues, and we are well within a month until fall camps begin in college football across this beautiful country of ours. So we're doing some check-ins this week on Iowa State, UNI football. We talked Iowa yesterday. We're talking Iowa State today. My colleague, Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us now. Rob, thanks so much for being here. Great to catch up with you again. How you doing?
Hey, always good to talk to you, Cole.
We got to start with Big 12 Media Days. As much as I'm looking forward to talking Iowa State football with you, the new commissioner, Brett Yomark, was meeting the assembled media earlier today. Are they doing that down in Dallas again this year?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's technically Arlington, right? Because it's, right? But, I mean, yeah, Dallas. For the Dallas metro area, yes, sir.
Yeah, down there in Jerry World in Arlington. I don't know if they get to call it Jerry World or Arlington anymore, or how that works at the city council, but I'm sure they got it figured out. Nonetheless, I mean, this time of the year, there's like two things that really, if they're going to hit the headlines, it's either one, conference expansion or realignment, or two, you've hit the headlines for the wrong reasons, like Northwestern. For example, yeah. And thankfully for the Big 12, it is the former. It is conference expansion, and Commissioner Yomark asked about that today. He basically said, we are very much looking into this, and I'm not going to tell you any specifics. However, the smoke's been out there for a while. Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, UConn, Gonzaga. I mean, this is a pretty interesting group of schools. Obviously, a lot of it kind of hangs in the balance with what comes to be of the Pac-12. But, Rob, what do you make of this? Because I'm fascinated to listen to as many people as possible who cover the Big 12 and have so for some time on what could be the next move for the conference.
Yeah, it's, Commissioner Yomark, obviously, he has to say he has a plan for expansion, but I don't think anybody knows, I mean, firmly what's going to happen until the Pac-12 finally comes out the media rights deal. That's been on hold for a long time. You hear all kinds of speculation that it's mostly streamers and some of the over-the-air stuff is like the CW and this sort of stuff. Who knows what's going on, but it's not looking particularly good for the Pac-12 at this point, but that could change, too. I mean, there are major players in Seattle, wink, wink, and Palo Alto, wink, wink,
yeah,
that, may really, 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 really feel like, you know, boosting the Pac-12. But there's a reason there have been no Steelers out there, talk to Steelers with the four corner schools. And, I mean, in particular, look at Colorado, Arizona, it just And again, what's going to happen with Oregon and Washington? The two, you know, they're the Oklahoma and Texas of the Pac-12 now. So I can't make any sense of it, but I do like that they're looking at it. A is valuing basketball too.
Yeah.
So that's why a UConn or a Gonzaga interested picture. And it's quite clear that your Mark is pretty skilled in determining what's going to be the best move from a financial standpoint. And I think that should have Big 12 fans feeling really good, especially vis-a-vis the Pac-12, and who knows what's going on in the ACC now, too. I mean, they position themselves fairly well to be the distant third out of the Power 5, and if they can keep that going, that would be a heck of a save given where the Big 12 was several years ago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob Bowlsby, I thought, did a great job of getting the conference out of the corner that everybody thought they were pinned into when it seemed like ESPN was in cahoots with the American Athletic Conference to try to spell the end of the Big 12. And I'm not trying to go back over that ground today, but I think kind of my follow-up would be what might, if we had to guess, educated if at all, would be the most likely first moves. I do wonder, okay, how mobile might Colorado be with, you know, Deion Sanders being there as the head coach, albeit they hang in the balance just like Arizona and Arizona State waiting on that media rights deal like you mentioned. So if I'm Brett Yormark, I almost feel like, man, if I want to quickly cement my legacy here, I put the calls into UConn and Gonzaga because UConn in the American, Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference, holy cow, the Big 12's reputation as a basketball conference just gets incredibly richer if you bring those two brand names in.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, in the Big 12, metrics-wise, it's been the best conference by a pretty wide margin, you know, top to bottom.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years. And then, yeah, you have those types of schools. You've essentially done what the SEC has done, and to some extent, at least in terms of the money, the Big Ten has done.
Mm-hmm.
You create a super conference for men's basketball. And then you try to maintain like third best in football.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the revenue is so different when you're talking football to men's basketball, but there is a certain cachet to that, right? You can say we are the premier. I mean, it's hands down.
Yeah,
we're the super conference for Division I men's basketball, and then you're still positioned to possibly go from there. I do think that schools like Colorado, in particular, and who knows who else they would pick up, and you don't know if it's two, if it's four. At some point, there has to be a cap. And I think I think it's in everybody's best interest to somehow still have a Power 5. It's just how does the pecking order play out? Because I can't imagine the Pac-12 and ACC being gone, and then think how big the SEC would become, absorbing a lot of the ACC. Big 10 gets a little. Big 12 gets a bunch of the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, it's kind of mind-spinning or your head mind-blowing to look at the scenarios, but I agree that that's intriguing, the basketball content. Now, does it make as much sense financially as shoring up the football side? Maybe not, but if you're looking long-term, that certainly it gives you a great talking and selling point.
Yeah,
for sure.
And Rob, forgive me here, maybe more so forgive me to my audience because they've heard this plenty of times now where I go on a little mini tirade about the Pac-12 where it's like, okay, Pac-12, the other big Power 5 conferences, they've made their moves, right? Like there's only so many potential prom dates left for you to try to, you know, ask out. And my thought was, okay, you go get the easy ones. You go get San Diego State. You go get UNLV. But this is about television markets. That was made very clear by what the Big Ten did, and a bit by what the SEC did. I think the Big Ten made it very clear. And if I'm the Pac-12, here I go again. I've said this to other people, but I know I haven't brought it up to you, where it's like, what are you waiting on in terms of go get SMU? Go get into that television market. Go get UTSA. Go get into the San Antonio television market. Go get into New Orleans with Tulane. Go get into Louisiana Lafayette. What they might lack in market, they make up for being just a damn good football program. I just it I have no idea how so many people that are so well compensated that, you know, are in nice suits and get around expensive wooden tables can't figure this out. It blows my mind. It's like the Pac-12 almost wants to see itself eaten alive.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good tirade. I can appreciate it. I mean, you've got the drama though now with San Diego State, right? They've got the exit from the Mountain West, and then can they take it back? I mean, they're wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, they're even wondering what's going to happen to the Pac-12. So you're talking the layups are now in flux, and you know, you're right. I mean, I could see that. I mean, I'm intrigued by that idea. Yeah, if you added those two no-brainers, and then, yeah, you did dip into, you know, some of the metro areas of Texas, I think you would end there. If you were the Pac-12, you would stop there.
Yeah.
But that's one way they could survive. But, I mean, if this media rights deal turns out to be as underwhelming as it sounds like it's destined to be, I don't understand why a number of those schools wouldn't want to jump ship. And then, again, you've got the behemoths. You know, relative behemoths of Oregon and Washington, man, what are they like? I'm like, we've got to settle for this.
Yeah.
You know, or well, we've got to change the share or something, you know, and then everything's even more chaotic. And so it's going to be crazy as usual and cutthroat as usual and a lot of ugliness, but a lot of interesting things too. So drama and intrigue and, you know, it's kind of like a Game of Thrones episode, yeah. Or something, you know what I mean? Where,
yeah.
You know, when's the next Red Wedding going to come?
And the clock is certainly ticking. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on Twitter, at Rob W. Gray. Rob, you said the word ugliness, and it made me think about the Big 12 football preseason poll. For whatever the hell it's worth, that's what we got to talk about, among other things, this time of the year. Iowa State picked 10th in that Big 12 preseason poll, right behind the Kansas Jayhawks. What the hell are we supposed to make of this? I mean, is it do we put the panic meter at like 6 out of 10, wondering, is this season going to be as bad or maybe worse than last season? Or, you know what, you're better off not paying attention to it. Well, what do you make of it?
I'm not surprised based on how last season went, and this is a media preseason poll.
Yeah.
And many of the people in the media, even though we seem to be losing more and more every day, have covered the Big 12 for a long time. And Iowa State's renaissance, 5 straight winning seasons, the FBS first ever New Year's 6th appearance in the FBS Bowl beating Oregon and COVID year or whatever, a lot of the great accomplishments, but they slid back to 4-8 last year, losing 6 of those games by one score or less, and clearly losing 6 of those games rather than the other team winning them, I would say at least 5. So you're looking at a different picture. And you've got the flux, you know, same at Iowa, surrounding what's going to happen with this gambling investigation, even though indications now are the NCAA is certainly feeling like they're lessening penalties for those things, particularly people who don't gamble in their own sports, which by all accounts, I think for both schools, that did not occur.
Okay.
And then you bring in a UCF, who probably is pretty good. Kansas had a better season than Iowa State last year, flat out. And they returned Jalen Daniels. They got some of the better recruits coming in. There's buzz around that program now. I think if you're slotted anywhere between 7 and 10 in the Big 12, you got a chance to be in 6 and 16 and go to a bowl game.
Yeah.
And I think Iowa State probably should be slotted somewhere between 7 and 10 at this point. Would I flip them UCF or would I make it Kansas 8? UCF's had a lot of success. Now, how's that going to translate when you're playing, you know, 9-10 Big 12 games or more? Yeah, I can't remember how the schedule shakes out. It's also crazy now with the 4 additions in addition to Oklahoma and Texas doing their swan song kind of year.
Yeah.
So I don't think people feel alarmed by it. I think it's what people look at Iowa State and they say, well, they lost their first round draft pick in Will McDonald in 50 years, ending the longest drought. They lost a lot of key contributors. They had the worst running game in the Big 12 by far.
Yeah,
they were one of the worst teams in the country in red zone scoring. And how does that change? I mean, you brought in new coaches. That's one thing that'll be interesting, especially with the Ryan Clanton of the world, but also, I mean, a number of others at key positions. I mean, so a long-winded way of saying I'm not that surprised, but I do believe Iowa State's ceiling is a lot higher than I believe their floor is right about there, and I believe their ceiling potentially is considerably higher than I think some of my colleagues in the media might consider most likely.
Well, Rob, you've done great work here, I think, lowering the heart rate of some of the Cyclone fans that are tuned in right now. So thank you very much for that. Great
stuff.
Yeah, me too, man. My heart rate was a little bit too when I saw that preseason poll come out. But great stuff. I got to run. Great to catch up with you. Continue to enjoy your summer here as football gets closer and closer, right?
Yep, thanks a bunch, Cole. Always great to join you.
Likewise. Take care. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. Mount Rushmore Week continues next. Logan Blackman will join us. We got our top four, Iowa State, and UNI football players of all time since 1990. That's next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The youngest son of Iowa basketball coach Fran McCaffrey has been cited in a fatal accident. Police say 16-year-old Jack McCaffrey struck 45-year-old Corey Height of Cedar Rapids with his car near Iowa City West High School on May 22nd. Height later died of his injuries. McCaffrey has been cited with failure to yield to a pedestrian in a crosswalk. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark says the future of the conference is bright. The league enters a transition year, which features new members Central Florida, Cincinnati, BYU, and Houston, and the final year before Texas and Oklahoma leave for the SEC.
We plan to use this season to celebrate the incredible strength we have going forward with our 8 continuing members, our 4 incoming members, and also to celebrate the impact that Texas and Oklahoma have had on this conference since day one.
He made his comment at Big 12 Football Media Days in Dallas. This is Radio Iowa.
Life is too short, but what makes it special? Those little moments that happen every day. Those big moments that take our breath away. But no matter the moment, you have to be healthy enough to make them. For women, that means watching our alcohol use as we age, because our bodies can't handle it like we used to. Let's put down the drink so we can savor the moments. Visit yourlifeiowa.org for more info. A message from Iowa HHS.
They are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Falkirk & Holm has been in the Cedar Valley since 1958. Our attorneys have the experience and history of success to make insurance pay what's fair.
After an accident, it's most important for you to focus on your medical treatment and following your doctor's orders. Instead, many injured Iowans are forced to deal with multiple insurance companies, a car insurance company trying to get a recorded statement from you, or even your health insurance company trying to gather endless amounts of information to protect their own interests. But by hiring a personal injury attorney, you can focus on your healing. At Ballkirk & Holm, the first thing we do is contact the insurance companies on your behalf. We take over the communication so that you can focus on your healing. No need to worry about paperwork or what to say or what not to say. We'll deal with the insurance companies for you. It's what we do. For a free consultation, visit ballkirkholm.com. Ballkirk & Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
Get 11% off your next outdoor staining project now at Menards. We carry a wide variety of paints and stains. Ultra Advanced Stain and Sealant is a premium wood stain that will protect and enhance the look of exterior surfaces. Right now, a gallon of Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain and Sealant is $34.49 after 11% off at Menards. Good through July 16th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Mount Rushmore Week continues right now. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins. We've done our top four Iowa, Iowa State, and UNI quarterbacks and running backs on Monday and Tuesday this week. So me and Logan thought, let's just do top four overall football players for the Hawkeyes, Cyclones, and Panthers today. And this is all since 1990, okay? I want to continue to repeat that for anybody out there. We did have somebody tweet the show. Zona Clone says Brock Purdy, Will McDonald, Breece Hall, Seneca Wallace. That's his Mount Rushmore since 1990 for the Iowa State Cyclones. And we bring in Logan Blackman right now. Logan, I thought it was interesting that Zona Clone tweeted at us, and a minute after he did, he made an adjusted list. So I think he's highlighting just how difficult this can be.
Oh, yeah. This is not easy because you're trying to go through, like, quarterbacks and running backs, you can just kind of pinpoint because it's just one position. This is positionless. So you're going through the histories of these three schools and going like, okay, which one's the best? And you feel really bad for leaving anybody out. So
yeah.
I agree with it. It's like, all right, here's my four. Oh, wait, I forgot about this guy. Yeah, it's difficult for this one.
Well, Zona Clone set the table, so let's start with Iowa State. You're the guest, so go right ahead. Your Iowa State top four, your Mount Rushmore since 1990 of Iowa State football players, Logan Blackman.
So some of these names are going to sound kind of familiar as a little bit of a spoiler alert, but I've got Troy Davis and Breece Hall, number one and two.
Yeah.
I just think with what they did in their time at Iowa State running the ball is just otherworldly for their for those teams. And number three, I've got the Big 12's all-time leading sack getter and Iowa State's first-round draft pick
yeah.
in 50-plus years, and Will McDonald. Playing as a three-tech at 240, 250 pounds is just insanely impressive. I don't expect him to do that in the NFL, but as an outside linebacker, I think he could wreak havoc. And then Seneca Wallace is on there as well. For how bad of a team they were up until that point, to get them to where they were, that game against Texas Tech, is like so many noteworthy moments for that. And I had to put like Brock Purdy as like a little honorable mention because of the longevity, 4-year starter, the numbers he put up, and the Fiesta Bowl victory and all that stuff. But that was my Iowa State Mount Rushmore.
We're identical besides Will McDonald, Troy Davis, Breece Hall, Seneca Wallace, and Brock Purdy. And in my honorable mention category, because I know we each have one of them for all three teams, I have Will McDonald. But when you talk about, you know, best players of all time since 1990, it's not Will McDonald's fault that he plays defensive line and Brock Purdy plays quarterback, but the quarterback
yeah.
ultimately has, you know, dictates more in terms of success or failure for a team. And Brock Purdy's ability to create success, I thought, was just a little bit better than Will McDonald, the guy who, as you mentioned, broke that long-running streak of no Iowa State first-round draft picks in the NFL. But with due respect to the Cyclones, Logan, it gets more difficult with the Hawkeyes and the Panthers. So I think we should go to the Panthers next. You know, we've pretty much, the last couple shows, we've said a lot about these guys. So maybe it's a little bit less about, you know, their accomplishments. If you want to hear about that, you can listen to the podcast from the past couple days. I think this discussion's more about getting into the splitting hairs about which guy over another guy. So with the UNI Panthers, I'll go first. Eric Sanders. That's the first guy on my list. He's the quarterback of the Panthers team, the only Panthers team to go to the national championship game. He completed like 75% of his passes that season that they went to the championship game. I have Bryce Popp next. Then I have David Johnson. And then I have Carter Schult. Bryce Popp goes on to win NFL Defensive MVP, like you mentioned on the show earlier this week. David Johnson, we talked about his ability, is just probably the best dual threat running back to ever play college football in this state. I would say probably ever. And then, I mean, Carter Schult, in terms of just strictly pass rushing, getting to the quarterback, might be, I think you could make a case he was better than Bryce Popp, strictly in just getting to the quarterback. There you have it. Eric Sanders, Bryce Popp, David Johnson, Carter Schult. My honorable mention being offensive lineman Chad Reinhart, who went on to have a really successful NFL career and was obviously outstanding as a Panther. So, floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to mention in Chad Reinhart there, Bill's legend, Chad Reinhart. So, Bryce Popp was my little, I texted you about this earlier, he was my asterisk, so I didn't know if we'd count him, but he was class of 90. So it counts.
Exactly, right?
So Bryce Pop was on there as well. David Johnson was on there as well. Eric Sanders was on there as well. And then the last one I got on here, I went back to the opposite side of the ball, and I went Dedrick Ward for that one. Three-time All-Conference.
Yeah.
Two-time Conference Player of the Year. Brad Meester was another one I mentioned in there.
Yeah.
Second-round draft pick for the UNI Panthers. UNI's got a great football history, but the ones you start, like, digging into it, it's like, there's a lot of players to choose.
What about, Trevor Penning? Trevor Penning.
I mentioned Trevor Penning in my, he's one of my honorable mentions. I didn't mention him here, but I have
Spencer
him in
Brown.
My honorable mention. I got to give love to Spencer Brown as well.
He's been outstanding for your Bills, has he not?
They're expecting a lot from this year. He's got a full off season. He had the back injury before the season last year, never got fully recovered. So there's a lot expected of him going into this season. So I'm excited for Spencer this year.
And if I'm not mistaken, would he be a – has he got what? Is this the last year of his rookie deal or one more after this?
I think he's got one more deal.
Okay.
I think he's got one more year.
Well, hopefully he gets healthy and he can get that second contract. And as the kids would say, get the bag. Because if he gets healthy, I think he'll get paid handsomely. Now we go to the Iowa Hawkeyes. And the Iowa Hawkeyes have had a lot of great players since 1990. Go ahead. I'll put the pressure on you. It's my show. I make the rules. you go ahead and start with your Iowa football Mount Rushmore since 1990. No pressure.
So I had I kind of had these two at 1A and 1B. I loved these two growing up, especially what they did in the NFL careers. They actually joined each other in the NFL after college, but I got Dallas Clark and Bob Sanders.
Wow.
Number one and two. Like, for Dallas Clark really set the tone for what Iowa would be known as tight end U. For what he did with the other guy on those lists, and just a common occurrence with his team, just Brad Banks, Heisman finalist, came second in the Heisman race, got him on there. And then Sean Green, for what he did in that one season, Iowa, 1,800 yards, 20-plus touchdowns, 100 yards in every single game, just otherworldly for Sean Green that year. And then I had a few other honorable mentions here, like Robert Gallery, Brandon Scherf, Tim Dwight, and Chad Greenway, I feel like all deserve some sort of mention there. You got like Drew Tate in there as well, but those were my four that I thought of first. And those four meant a lot for Iowa, especially the early era, the early days of the Kirk Ferentz era.
This is where we've differed the most so far through 3 days of Mount Rushmore's. I have Brad Banks, Robert Gallery, Bob Sanders, and Jack Campbell.
Okay.
And fair. It pained me to leave Dallas Clark off the list. He is my honorable mention. I didn't go as far to put down multiple honorable mentions like you did. Really appreciate the effort there. We're trying to do a top four, and Logan's like, yeah, I got like 8-9 guys. But, I mean, I know people might want to, if we're splitting hairs here, knock Brad Banks because it's one season. But point me to the last time there was a Heisman runner-up. Since 1990. You can't do it, right? When it comes to NFL success, Robert Gallery did not quite live up to the billing that people thought, but he was the best offensive lineman in college football when he was done at Iowa. And for as much as Iowa is known as tight end U, it's also known for what it's put out there in terms of offensive linemen. Bob Sanders, man, that might be a little bit of a heart over head pick if people really want to criticize it. You know, for as many years now as Norm and Phil Parker have been the engineers of Iowa's defense, it kind of is what it is, right? Like, the scheme is the scheme, and the players, you know, they're the ones who elevate the scheme. I thought maybe nobody in this era since 1990, Logan, transcended that Norm and Phil Parker Iowa defensive scheme better than Bob Sanders. His ability to make himself a playmaker in that scheme, I thought was, I think it's second to none. I with all the great defensive players that have been at Iowa, I don't think anybody's done a better job of turning themselves into a playmaker in that scheme than Bob Sanders. And I mean, if he wasn't, you know, besieged by injuries, we're talking about a guy who maybe could have been an NFL Hall of Famer for that matter. And then Jack Campbell. Mad respect to Chad Greenway. I don't know if you know this. Chad Greenway was on the show last week, but I think Jack Campbell's the best linebacker in this era that we're talking about here since 1990 to ever do it. Chad Greenway said as much when he was on the show last week. So I'm going to put Jack in front of Chad because Chad said so. And if there was ever a, you know, close as ever honorable mention, it's Dallas Clark. Like, I think you had said it earlier on the show this week. Like, we're going to have to carve another head into the mountain here for the Iowa Hawkeyes and just put Dallas Clark on it anyways and make it a top five. So I get the Sean Green thing. You know, there's a case to be made for Tim DeWight and Cedric Shaw and those guys, but I would love to hear from Hawk fans out there, as we had heard from Clone fans, Zona Clone on Twitter, if they have any. If do you think there's, like, either of our lists that there's one that somebody might be like, you just got to have this guy on there, Logan?
I think yours with not having Dwight Clark or Dallas Clark on there.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be Dallas Clark.
He won the Mackey Award, right?
Yeah, it's just the what Iowa's known for now. Like, you have the opposite line. Robert Gallery was so hard. I just went with – that was the hard overhead thing with Sean Green versus Robert Gallery, but – I know a lot of people out there love themselves from Dallas Clark, what he did with Peyton Manning and all those guys. But, yeah, I don't really think there's too much to, like, really get upset about for any of these. Like, Iowa State one just splitting hairs on which one you'd rather have in there. Like, we had pretty much the same list, honorable mention, and then flipped around the number four in honorable mention spot. So I don't think there's a lot to split hairs here. But there's, you know, people find a way to get upset about anything. So we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. No doubt about it. Great stuff, Logan. We will reconnect again tomorrow and continue Mount Rushmore week.
Yes, sir.
All right, there you have it, folks. Debate, discuss, and let us know on Twitter, Facebook, or send me an email, cole@1650thefan.com. We come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Rashadi with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Saints running back Alvin Kamara has pled no contest to a misdemeanor charge of breach of peace for an incident that took place in a Las Vegas nightclub last February. Kamara will have to complete community service and pay the victim's medical bills. He is still subject to potential league discipline. The NFL released a statement saying, "We're closely monitoring all developments in the matter, which remains under review." JJ and TJ Watt will be the first brothers to be featured on the Wheaties box. JJ says he considered signing with the Steelers after getting released by the Texans, but ultimately decided against it because he didn't want to take money away from TJ's contract. And Pittsburgh linebacker Alex Highsmith broke out in 2022 with 14 and a half sacks and 5 forced fumbles. He's entering the last year of his deal and says he's hoping for a long-term contract. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Did you know there's a place where you can get good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates on home and auto insurance? Yep, here's the deal. This is State Farm agent Brad Jacobson, and I am your go-to agent in Cedar Falls for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop shopping around. Call me, Brad Jacobson, at 319-277-4134 for your surprisingly great rates today. 319-277-4134. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. College football's no stranger to scandals. And after the most recent issues connected to Northwestern football, it's clear college football's still struggling to leave its past behind. Coaches hate change, schools hesitant to institute name, image, and likeness, and plenty of pushback with the new college football playoff, also the transfer portal. But sometimes change is needed. Pat Fitzgerald's termination from Northwestern is a perfect example. The Big Ten school was rocked with hazing scandals last week, and earlier this week, the prestigious institution decided to part ways with their longtime coach. In the old days, that type of behavior could have been described as team building or tough love, but that's no longer acceptable. As a head coach, you're responsible for the entirety of the football program. You need to have knowledge of everything that goes on in the building as well as on campus. Coaches can't have it both ways, and based on Northwestern's decision, ignorance may no longer be an acceptable excuse. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Every week we talk about our good friends at Panini America, and rightfully so, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. We invite you to check out their NFT marketplace at paniniamerica.net/blockchain for one-of-a-kind digital cards. They have public auctions that are on the site. You can find the hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats. You got the official products from the NFL, UFC, NBA, and collegiate sports.
You can share your cards in the public gallery, complete challenges, earning exclusive award cards, and build a wish list for the items that you love. Keep an eye out on the Panini NFT platform. Unique, one-of-a-kind VIP experiences. Select NFT holders will have access to, like, on-the-field experiences at NFL games, backstage at the UFC, and so much more. Panini NFT trading cards giving you the opportunity to pull autograph cards and more, even one of one NFTs from every pack. PaniniAmerica.net/blockchain, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
There is some confidence going into that game in the sense that we understand we can play with them. They've been a top five team all year, right? And, you know, as of late, we've played really well against those top five teams. And so, I think that confidence is there. But understanding, too, it's hard to beat a really good team three times in 1 year, and it's down there. But, you know, we talked a lot about kind of just giving ourselves a chance to earn one more game, and that's kind of where you're at in the playoffs. And we reminded the guys the last time we were at Cedar Rapids Kennedy, it was kind of an exciting time for the Cedar Falls baseball program, and why not do it again there and just enjoy it, right? Enjoy that moment because, you know, sometimes you don't know when it's going to end.
That's Tigers baseball coach Brett Williams on tonight's Class 4A Substate Final at 6th-ranked Cedar Rapids Kennedy. 10th-ranked Tigers looking to punch their ticket to the state baseball tournament. Good luck to them. You'll find out tomorrow morning what took place on Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson. I'll be back tomorrow at 5. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.